All right, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. A bunch of good-looking folks out there. Good to have you here. I wasn't talking about you, Blake, but I was talking to you about everybody else. Never mind. I won't even go down that road with you, bro. Anyway, so good to see everybody this morning. Glad to be here at the end of August. Can you believe it's already the end of August? It's so good to have all the students back. As Blake had said earlier, it's good to have you this morning. I did want to just comment just a minute on our life groups. Please go back and take a moment at the end of the service and look around at the different life groups that we have and see if something fits your schedule, as Blake was referring to. If your life is crazy and there's just no way that you can fit any kind of life groups into your life, I certainly understand. What I would suggest to you to do is you can maybe find one person that you can meet with once a month or once every couple of weeks, if anything that we have provides for you, because I think it's good for us to keep the connections that we have, personal connections with individuals. So if your schedule is crazy and it doesn't work for you, life is crazy. You got to do what you got to do. But if there's some way you can get some kind of a regular routine once a month, twice a month, whatever works for you, I do highly recommend that, for you. So at the end of the service, we'll give you some time to go out and look around and see what we have available. Throughout the summer, the last month, we've been talking about the heart life. We talked about that. We finished up that series last week. And we're starting another one today called Overcoming. That's the series that we're going to do. And the heart was good because we talked about God preparing your heart, but He prepares our heart so that we can overcome. Now, I love this overcoming symbol up here. Every Monday night, me and my kids, our ritual is we watch American Ninja Warrior. We love it. There's nothing like seeing Max, my son, jumping up and down, running around the living room, about every, stuff. And so we really enjoy watching American Ninja Warrior. And what's amazing to me is you got people with amazing athletes doing some pretty incredible things going through obstacles. Now, the title of my sermon today is going to be Overcoming Obstacles. Because let me tell you something, there's obstacles in life that you're going to face. Listen to me now. I'm not going to give you a sugar-coated gospel this morning. Just look at me and everything. I'm not going to be somebody on TV. Just pray this prayer and the life is going to be completely okay after this. That's the truth. Maybe I should just end the sermon right there on that note. That's a battle to be had out there in the world in which we live. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I love it what's happening when you watch this series, people are pushing themselves to the limits of what they're physically able to overcome on a physical manner. Now, transfer that over into the spirit. You think the obstacles they have to face, ours are 100 times worse, 100 times more challenging when you're talking about the spirit realm. But I'm so impressed by what some of these men and women can do. They have to go through all these different stages, and sometimes they have stage one, and they don't even make it through qualifying, or they don't make it to the next level. And it just blows my mind some of the things they do. And they're constantly having to move the bar higher for these athletes because the more they get ready, the more they, train, the more they train, the better they are, and they have to continually get harder and harder obstacles to face. There's some real parallels there with spiritual things. And so finally, about 2 years ago, they had somebody finally make it all the way through to the fourth level and completely conquer the mountain. So let's watch that real quick. That's his wife.
Look at the forearm strength on display here. The 36-year-old turning back the clock.
Less than a second. Isn't that amazing? That guy's like Popeye. Is anybody familiar with Popeye on this side of the room? Popeye the Sailor Man? If you're not, look it up. But I mean, on YouTube, I'm sure they have something with Popeye. But you know, he had to believe he could do that before he could actually do it. He had to have the physical prowess to do it. He had the mental, had to have the mental part. How many times have we seen people, we can say, man, they are so physically gifted, but yet the head won't where they can make it. Their head had to be in the game before they could make it. Tell you what, if you think he needs physical discipline and mental discipline, what about the Christian? I mean, we got to have some Popeye arms in the spirit. Do that, yeah, I'm saying. My proposal to you today is, it's going to take some kind of mental toughness and spiritual fortitude to overcome obstacles in your life. My declarative statement to you today is, there will be obstacles in your life. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The church is going to face obstacles. You're going to face obstacles. Just write it down as part of life. Jesus never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us that we could just lay down and everything is ever always going to be all right. Now, I know I'm contradicting a lot of TV evangelists. But I'm telling you, there's going to be obstacles that's going to come into your life. Now, theologically, I'm of the mind that there's a God and there's the devil. It says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroys. I believe some obstacles that come that you have to overcome, or some obstacles are put there by God to do something in our lives. Other obstacles are put there by the enemy to try to destroy your life. All of this, obviously, God is sovereign, and he allows certain obstacles to come into our lives. So I have two questions that I'm going to endeavor to answer today. The first one is, what do obstacles accomplish in your life? How does God use that? And how do we approach obstacles when we're faced with them? Because you're going to be faced with them. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we move forward today talking about overcoming, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would give us grace to understand your word. Give us grace to learn. And help me, Lord, communicate what's on my heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as this guy, Jeff, who did that at 36 years old and went all the way to the top, I believe Jesus wants every Christian to have a successful, overcoming life. I believe he wants us to be full of faith. I believe he wants to make us successful. I believe he wants to do things in us. But we have to go through the process that God takes us through. So let me read this passage to you, our basics, the verse upon which we're are basing this on today. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." When Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, it wasn't just so you could go to heaven when you die. Thank God for the benefits of going to heaven. But it says he overcame the world. So the benefits of the cross and the resurrection is that in this life, you can have victory and you can overcome. Yes. That you can make it when you feel like you can't make it. That's what he did. It wasn't just about salvation, even though that's the ultimate prize of being saved and knowing Jesus. but it was about your life right now, how he wants to use you, how he wants to change you, and the calling and purposes that he has on your life. That's what it's about. So number one here, what do obstacles accomplish in your life? What do they accomplish in your life? Number one, underneath that, humility and brokenness. Humility and brokenness. Isaiah 66 says, "For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word." So when we talk about humility, we're talking about submission to God and being there and falling on your face before Jesus. Brokenness is a little bit harder to define. When we talk about brokenness, I'm not talking about, you know, I had a bad upbringing and I've had a lot of bad things happen to me and I'm broken inside, you're a broken person. That's not the kind of brokenness that I'm talking about today. The kind of brokenness I'm talking about is a deep humility that comes from God's inward dealings and workings in your life. A deep breaking, a deep submission. Let me read this quote to you about what brokenness is. It says, "Brokenness is not a feeling, rather it is a choice, an act of the will. It is not primarily a one-time experience or crisis, though there may be a crisis points in the process of brokenness. Rather, it is an ongoing, continual lifestyle. Brokenness is a lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true condition of our heart and life as he sees it. It is a lifestyle of unconditional, absolute surrender of our will to the will of God, a heart attitude that says, 'Yes, Lord,' to whatever God says. Brokenness means the shattering of our self-will so that the life and the spirit of the Lord Jesus may be released through us. It is our response of humility and obedience to the conviction of the word and of the spirit." So brokenness is a lifestyle of agreeing with God about the true nature, true condition of our heart and life as he sees it. Now, I know the first thing you say is, "Eddie, this sounds awful negative." No, this is actually positive. This is the stuff we need to be what God has called us to be. And here it says, brokenness, the only way humility and brokenness come in your life is through obstacles. I said you're going to have obstacles in your job. You're going to have obstacles in your marriage. You're going to have obstacles in your parenting. You're going to have obstacles in your finances. There's always going to be some obstacle that's going to come up because we live in this world. You say, "I don't want to have any obstacles." Well, die and go to heaven. That is the only place you're not going to have an obstacle that's going to come up, because there's a devil out there who doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to be a good witness to other people. He wants to embarrass the kingdom of God and embarrass you in the time being and embarrass me. So that's why we have to walk humbly. Now, you can't teach brokenness. I can't say, "All right, go look this book up online, order this book, and after you read this book, you're going to be how to walk in brokenness." That's not how it works. I wish it worked that way. I've read tons of books. How many times have we read leadership books and never did anything they said in the book? Only a few people laugh. I guess I'm one of the few, me and a few others. So brokenness comes by God's inward dealings within our lives. That's why, and now hear me this morning, all you younger people that are in the church, I count it an honor to be your pastor. I'm in my 50s. I count it an honor to be your pastor. But let me just tell you something. You need to listen to some of us older guys and ladies sometimes. Because we've been places and have gone through some brokenness and have experienced some things that you haven't experienced yet, and you need to listen to what we got to say. Now, I'm not saying we're always right. We can be older and get stuck in religious ways and not be flexible and have our opinions, but yet there's a heart thing you can listen to when you're listening to an older person. Now, there are some young people who have been through a whole lot of bad stuff, and I'm amazed that you have overcome. I know there's probably kids over here. What you've had to overcome just to get here to college just probably blows my mind. So I'm not saying you're not overcoming things. But I'm saying there's nothing like experience and maturity and getting your head beat around by the enemy, the struggles of life, there's nothing like that that will bring a brokenness and a humility in you other than that. When I was 25, I thought I knew something. Then I graduated from college, went into ministry. I didn't know squat about living that kind of life. Then I got married and I really didn't know nothing. Now I'm 53, still wondering if I know anything. But instead of coming to where I think I know something, I'm willing to throw myself on the cross, say, Jesus, may I humble myself before the mighty hand of God, because I know that apart from you, I can't do anything. It takes a brokenness there. I know what it's like. I mean, we could go around the room and probably could give testimonies. Like, I know what it's like to not even be able to hardly roll out of the bed the next day. Didn't know how I was going to face the next day. Was just in torment and pain. I know what that's about. So when I tell you that I know that, you young people need to listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm not but I could be anybody in here could say what I just said who's been through stuff. I'm not trying to say just me. I'm saying everyone. So listen to us. And as older people, we need to learn from the younger crowd. Just because we've done something the same way for years doesn't mean they don't have something to say. And they don't have good ideas to preach this gospel. What I love about Jesus is he's a generational man. If you're 18, you can change the world. If you're 80, you can change the world. Because he works across all that. All that. But there is something to be said about some brokenness and some humility and experience that would be a great benefit to younger people. So listen to me. What I'm saying to that. Number two, he builds stamina, perseverance, and endurance inside of you. You know, I watched so much of the Ninja Warrior, I can almost tell now who didn't run enough. Whose wind was so low they couldn't make it because their wind gave out. Their muscles didn't give out, their wind gave out. Well, if you had run a few more miles, you might would have made it through that obstacle. I can tell when people don't read the Bible and pray because they're giving out a wind right in the middle of the call of God he has on them. But there's a perseverance. There's a stamina that comes. There's an endurance that comes when obstacles come your way. When obstacles come into your path, there's endurance comes there because you got to hang on. You got to believe. You got no choice but to stand and believe God. There's a muscles that are built up inside of you. I'm not a runner. Never want to be a runner. Never will be a runner. But I do admire people who do run. Because they can build up some stamina and they can run. I'm constantly amazed. I was talking to somebody I'm going to do the triathlon or I'm going to do this race. I'm just like, I can barely get me a lick machine once or twice a week, you know, and I admire you. But that same kind of stamina that it takes to build up and run takes the same in the gospel, in the Bible, as you're praying, as you're reading your Bible, as you're communicating with each other, as you're building community. Romans 5, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations or sufferings, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Some translations say endurance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So God will allow obstacles to come into your life to, number one, humble us, and number two, to build some stamina in us. Or else we're going to be soft and we're not going to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Number two, the second question. How do we approach obstacles when they're faced with them? All right, Eddie, you told me what I was going to do in my life. Well, how do I approach it? How you approach it is the exact same answer as I put in number one here, humility and brokenness. When an obstacle comes into your life, be humble. Fall on your face before God and say, Jesus, I got the plan. I got this. You go, Jesus, I don't have this. And then once you get a word from God, you say, now I got this. Because Jesus is there with me. I'm walking through it. And this goes across the board. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what you do in life. You're going to need to walk this way. You're going to need to walk in the humility and brokenness. James chapter 4 says, but he who gives a But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me just say this. Overcoming does not mean that the bad things that happen to you are erased. It doesn't mean it. It just means that you have to learn how to move on. It means you got to stand firm. It doesn't mean, many of us could go around the room, I had this bad thing happen, I had this bad thing happen. But you can still walk in an overcoming life and have had terrible things happen to you. Because it's not about the overcoming, the bad thing being erased. It's about us walking in overcoming faith. And that's what number two here is. Consistency and resolve of the word is the second thing. You have to resolve in your heart. I don't understand what's going on. I got some obstacles at work. But you got to resolve that I'm going to stand on this word. I'm going to believe this word no matter how I feel. No matter what's going on. I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe. There's a mental battle. Let me tell you something. There's some crazy thoughts going to go through your head. I've said this before. There's some crazy thoughts that are going to go through your head. Nobody had to say amen. Maybe I'm the only one. But that don't mean you got to believe it. That don't mean you got to follow through with it. That doesn't mean you got to just grasp every thought, because some of those thoughts are from the enemy. Some of those thoughts are from God, and some of them are just from you and what you ate last night. But it takes a humility when you're faced with obstacles. And when you're faced with stuff that just, you don't know how I'm going to make it through this. Or I've got a real stressful situation. God says, come to me humbly. I'll get you through it. He says, be resolved, have your consistency and your resolve in the word. The fight, the good fight of faith. Realize you're going to have a fight. I'm sorry that's the way it is, but that's the way it is. You're going to have a little bit of fight in you if you want to overcome and be a successful Christian. You got to fight. Don't lay down. Much as I love a nap on the couch, I got to get up and fight at some point. Come on. My laying on the couch is getting in the word. Getting up and moving is my fight. I love this verse in Psalm. It says, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Blessed be the Lord God my rock. He trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. You know, some of the stuff that you're struggling with at home and some of the stuff you're struggling at work, some of it's just totally spiritual. God, because let me tell you something. No matter what your job is, if you're there as a witness to Jesus, he's going to try. The devil isn't going to be happy about it. He wants you to stand. He's going to, if anybody he can do to harass you, he will. Thirdly, running right into this is having faith and trust in God. Having faith and trust in God. You know, on the side, one time I was out in the backyard with my dad when I was growing up, and we were working on cars. That's back when you can actually work on a car and not have a engineering degree to do so and a computer to do it. And we were back there doing wrenches, and we were taking off carburetors. Don't even make carburetors anymore. This should go to an old show. And we were out there and taking it. And I had this wrench, and I was a kid. And I had that wrench. I couldn't get this thing to turn. And my dad looks at me, and he handed me a bigger wrench. He said, take this wrench, put that wrench down. And the wrench was twice the size of the wrench I had before. And then I got it, and man, it came right off. And I don't know, and my dad looked at me, he said, work smarter, don't work harder. And I don't know what that was, but it's always stuck in my brain from the time I was a kid until now. Work smarter, not harder. Working smarter for the Christian is to have faith in a God who can come through for you in your time of moment. Or your stress that you're having that week. Maybe you're a student, you're having an exam that week. The stress, trusting in God. That little wrench was me trusting in my own strength. That big wrench was me trusting in a big God who told me how to. And if you had prayed, read your Bible, it sure would have gone a lot better for you. instead of trying to do it in your own strength. So we need to have faith and trust in God through this. Mark chapter 9 says, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark chapter 11, speak to this mountain, tell it to be removed. And if you don't doubt in your heart, it shall be done for you. For praying and believing that you shall receive what you ask for. Having faith in God to overcome what comes in your life. Overcome significant situations. We have a Savior who overcome the world for us. We have Jesus Christ who came, he died on the cross to give us the victory. I would say this, living in Jesus, I've had way more victories than I've ever had defeats, in the sense that there's a joy and a peace and a love that comes from Jesus. At least I scare the young people. No, life is not full of trials and tribulations. But you're going to face some obstacles. I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you you're going to face obstacles. I wouldn't be honest with you. But with Jesus and faith in him and what he did for us on that cross, what he accomplished for us by being the one who overcame the world for us, he went before us. Now we have the same Holy Spirit that can give us the ability to overcome whatever happens in our lives. Now, we've all can go around and give stories of stuff we have struggled with and things we've gone through and things that we're having to battle through and different things like that. So I'm not saying one over the other is any worse or less than anyone else, but we all have the same Jesus. We all have the same God who will help us battle through and get overcome whatever happens in our lives. And the fourth thing is acts of faith. We just need to act like we got some faith. Maybe we need to do some good stuff. Maybe we need to work for Jesus. Maybe we need to get involved. We need to go forward and stand up for who Jesus is and what he's done for us. You know, these ninja warriors have done some amazing physical accomplishments. But can you imagine a person who submitted to Jesus Christ, what they can do and overcome? I mean, overcoming some obstacles, that's no big deal. You can go on television, have your moment of fame. But day in and day out, we as believers in Jesus have to be able to walk out an overcoming life. And it takes faith in a God who's already done the work. Jesus already did the work. We just got to get in line with Jesus when we're battling what we have. And again, I'm going to say this again. It doesn't matter what your job is, your point in life, where you are, obstacles will come. And if you don't, you know, I'm just saying at 43, I can tell you it's going to come. But if you'll do what I'm saying here, I believe you can have victory and faith and trust. I'm not telling you something I haven't lived out, and we have it, and all of us are living out together as we're trying to endeavor to serve God. But let me read you some passages as we wrap it up before we do our life group fair. Says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Overcome. And let me just say again, when I say overcome, I don't mean all the bad stuff is ever erased from what's happened to you, but you've been able to grab a hold of Jesus and say, I'm moving forward. I'm going to continue to battle and believe that I'm going to fulfill and accomplish what he has called me to do in my life. And move on and move forward. If you're right in the middle of it right now, keep believing. Yes. Keep standing. Yes. I would play a Journey song in here today, but I'm not. Don't stop believing that Jesus is going to do it. Now everybody's going to play this on the way home today. I'll find it on my phone. I'll do my little YouTube. Anyway, don't stop believing that you have the Son of God who will be there for you and get you through. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to be inside of you. The book of Revelation says it. So you know what I mean? You know it's true if the book of Revelation says it. Some people get afraid when you start reading out the book of Revelation. But anyway, read another one out of Revelation. Let me read this one to you. Revelation 12, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren has been cast down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus has already done, and because of the word of their testimony. They held by faith, and they stood on the word of God and kept their faith, as I already mentioned. And they did not love their life even unto death. In other words, they humbled themselves, and they were broken, and they said, Jesus, you're the one who's going to get me through. Because in John 16, again, it says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace, and in the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. So as we're going through this series on overcoming, we're going to talk about overcoming in your own self, your life. We're going to talk about overcoming, the church overcoming obstacles. We're going to talk about different aspects of overcoming, because I really believe that what Jesus did for us gave us all that we need to overcome in this life. He did the work. He paid the price. And many of us have paid the price and have seen what Jesus can do. And I'm just believing that I'm going to continue to see what God can do if we live an overcoming life, full of the Holy Spirit, full of what Jesus has done, full of Him, and recognizing that apart from Him, we can do nothing. But the cross of Jesus, His resurrection, what He has done will save us. It will give us everything we need to overcome, no matter what's happened in our life. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we thank you that you are our God. Thank you, Jesus, that we overcome by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, not loving our life, even unto death. We believe you, Lord. I just pray for fortitude to come, steel to come into our spine, spiritually speaking, fight to come inside of us. I pray for the young people over here who are going to have to fight this year in the spirit as they're on campus and all the different stuff that's going on. Lord, let there be steel in their spine. Let there be faith in their hearts, Lord Jesus. Let there be just an anointing to be upon them. All those who are in different job situations or family situations right now, I just pray that the overcoming spirit would come upon them, that they're going to make it through this time, that they're going to be able to accomplish all that you've called them to make. These detailed work decisions or family decisions that they've got to make, Lord, give them the wisdom of God. Help them walk through it, Lord Jesus. Give them an overcoming, like, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Give them that faith to overcome. Give them that faith to believe, Lord Jesus, that they can do it because you've already done it for us. I thank you for it. If you say to Eddie, I need to get my life right with Jesus today. I need to commit my life to Him today. Maybe you've backslidden, and maybe you have been away from God for a while, and you need to come back. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe you've never committed your life to Jesus, and you need to repent and turn your life over to Him today. If that fits any, you fall into those categories at all, please raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Nobody's going to be looking at you. Thank you. Anybody else? If you raised your hand, just you put your hand down. Just pray this prayer after me. Just pray it quietly to yourself. Say, Jesus, I repent. I give my life to you today. I ask you to save me today. I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to bring me into your kingdom as one of your children. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for raising from the dead for me. Thank you for the salvation that comes only through Jesus and only in His name. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer with me, though, please come on up and talk to me after the service. I got some information I'd like to give you. Thank you for being here this morning. And Blake will finish up. Amen.